السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، ونشهد ان سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى، اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة، يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. صدق الله العظيم. Just a little while ago this ayat suddenly flashed in my mind, probably because we heard it in last night's Taraweeh. It is an ayat and a verse of the Quran Sharif in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about the true Rijal. Allah Ta'ala says they are people, they are Rijal, men whom neither trade nor sale, in other words, any kind of business transaction and business deals, the running of businesses, whatever business it may be, it does not divert them from remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, from the giving, from the establishment of Salat, and from the giving of Zakat. They engage in trade, they engage in business, they engage in buying and selling, but it does not divert them, it does not make them forget Allah Ta'ala in that business. They realize that it is Allah Ta'ala who is sending the risk and the sustenance. You can have half a dozen shops, and if you go to India and some other places, China and other places, and even here now in South Africa in many places, it's the same item that is sold by all the shops in that line. It's nothing different. Is the same item, but yet some shop is very, very busy, they don't even have the time to serve you, and in another shop the person is looking where the flies are so that he can swat some flies. One person at the end of the day will say that we were so busy that we had no time to even eat or breathe, and the other one will say that it was very, very bad business. So who is it that is sending the customers? The risk and sustenance is coming from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's side. All these are means Allah Ta'ala has got for the provision of that sustenance. Now we are believers in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We must check where are we going wrong. If we are having problems in our lives, then we must look into the Quran Sharif, into the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and see where are we going wrong. Of course, we must not think that whosoever has been blessed with plenty full of wealth, then definitely Allah Ta'ala is very pleased with him. This I have mentioned repeatedly, that neither does Allah Ta'ala look at how much wealth you have or how much you don't have. It just depends on how much of piety and taqwa the person has. That is what Allah Ta'ala looks at. And the Quran Sharif again tells us that sometimes this wealth can be an azab for a person. For some people it is a blessing, and for some people it is an azab and a punishment. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says that these people, their business, their trade, their buying, their selling, their engagement in this profession of theirs, it is not something that diverts them from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They are conscious of the fact that they are believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that there is a day of judgment. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. They fear that day when the eyes and the hearts will be overturned. Now this is an ayat of the Quran Sharif. It is not a pocket mas'ala or anything of that kind. It is something that is in the Quran Sharif, that these people, because of that fear that they have of that day when the eyes and hearts will be overturned. Now the fear of that day has left our hearts. Therefore we engage in all kinds of activities which are displeasing to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if a person is given plentiful but he is not being given out with the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then it is a punishment. Dushmano ko ae shabo gil diya, aur dosto ko apna darde dil diya. Unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili, aur humko tufano mein bhi sahil diya. Take the Jews and the others who have been given plentiful, all the best homes on the beachfront in Cape Town and other places. And in fact they are now even buying off everything in Jeddah and so many parts of Saudi Arabia. Even Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif, directly or indirectly, they are buying off all the best properties. So now that doesn't mean Allah Ta'ala became very pleased with them. There is a weakness in us that we are selling the land and the properties in those places which are muqaddas to such kind of people who are going to create nothing but mischief with that money that they are going to earn, with all the returns that they are going to get on that prime property. What are they going to use it for? Will the Jews use it for the benefit of the Muslim community? Are they going to be really concerned about the people that are coming for Hajj and Umrah here, that this money that is coming, now we are going to use it to provide for them nice good facilities and make everything easy and comfortable, and we will make sure that their Hajj is performed in the best of manners? Is that what they are going to use that money for? But greed is a thing like that, that the person just doesn't know what is hitting him. That is why in Palestine also the same thing happened. They were told that don't sell your land, don't sell your property, don't sell your homes, irrespective of what amount of money you are offered. Some people, Allah Ta'ala gave them that strength of iman and they did not submit to that temptation. But many, many people sold their land, sold their homes because they were offered 100 times the market value of those properties. So what was their maqsad and intention behind it? Now that is another subject, I don't wish to go into that. But what I am saying is that here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is talking about those people that they fear the day of judgment, on that day when hearts and eyes will be overturned. So because of that, they don't allow their business deals and their transactions to divert them from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It does not mean that they are reading tasbih all the time, subhanallah, subhanallah, whilst they are selling, while they are buying, they are reading tasbih. Then that person cannot even run his business if he is going to be making tasbih while the customer is asking what's the price of this article and what are the benefits of this technology and what is the way that this cell phone operates and this car runs. Now at that time the person says, no, I am told to be making tasbih all the times. Can he run his business? What it means that the person is conscious that if I am selling this car, then my Allah is watching. If there is defect in the car, if there is any kind of problem, then I must make it known to the customer. Or I must tell him it is as is, take it, go and have a good look at it, try it out, run it around, check it out with your mechanic and then come and buy if you want. Or if it is a garment that the person is selling or anything the person is selling, now the person is conscious. So that is zikrullah, that the person now is aware that Allah Ta'ala is watching, so he's not going to do anything that is un-Islamic. He's not going to enter into any kind of deal that is un-Islamic. His earning will be halal. So now this day that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is talking about, many, many places in the Quran Sharif there's a mention of the day of judgment. And if only we can get that aqidah right, that there is a day of judgment, all our problem is solved. And this is the aqidah that we were supposed to pass on to the entire communities, or the communities living around us, to the indigenous or whoever they may be, and people who are disbelievers, whether they are Muslims or whether they are Christians or they are Jews or they are Hindus or anyone else. If only we had done our duty and we had conveyed this message, and if they had believed just in a day of judgment, the crime situation of South Africa and the crime situation of the world would have been resolved. At present it is only, please increase the police force, please increase more surveillance, please increase this, please increase that. But is the increase in all those things helping in any way? What is it helping? The crime is still increasing because we haven't worked on the hearts of the people, and that is what Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. He worked on the hearts of the people. He changed their thinking. He made them believe in the day of judgment. And because of that, crime disappeared. Those people who were looting and murdering and killing, they became the protectors of the other people. There was no such thing as crime after that in Makkah Madinah Sharif. You find the chopping of only 6 hands up to the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, according to authentic reports, you find about 6 people whose hands were cut. Now imagine the entire duration of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafat. And then comes Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafat. Now in the 2.5 years of Hazrat Abu Bakr, then again about 10 years of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, only 6 people were really arrested and whose hand was cut. And because of that, millions of people go to sleep comfortably and peacefully. So therefore we have to understand that this aqidah of day of judgment, belief in the day of judgment, any person that is entering into the fold of Islam, then this is the aqidah that we have to instill in the person's heart. Belief in the firm, in the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and we drum it down his throat and make it settle in his heart that when you are accepting Islam, then don't look at the Muslims, because they will ask that question themselves. But that Muslim, but that Muslim, but that friend of mine, I go with him to the casino. That Muslim, I know he does this and he does that. So beforehand you tell him that if you want to accept Islam, then you don't look at the Muslims of today and accept Islam. I will tell you what Islam is, and then you explain to him. And the main thing that the person is explaining there is the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, who is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing, and the aqidah of the day of judgment. These two things are very, very important, because if that person just gets these two things right, then that person's life will be totally different. He will not be a Muslim like us. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that these people, their trade, their business transactions, their deals, their buying, their selling, it does not divert them from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. They are conscious of the fact that in every deal of mine I am being watched by my Allah. And He is the one who is sending that risk and sustenance, and He is the one who can snatch it away. So therefore He says, Dushmano ko aish abo gil diya. Allah Ta'ala, many people who are disbelievers, He gave them plenty full of everything. Or dushmano ko aish abo gil diya. Or dosto ko apna darde diya. Those who are believers in Allah Ta'ala, true believers, Allah Ta'ala gave them His love and His muhabbat in their hearts. It is a priceless commodity when the person has this love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart. Then, under all conditions, the person is at ease and peace, because he has made peace with his Creator, so therefore in his heart also he will find tranquility, sukoon and peace, whatever the condition of the outside world. He will have suffered natural grief, as I have explained many times. If somebody passes away, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he shed tears when his son Ibrahim passed away. And he even said that we are grieved at your passing away. But that grief, that sorrow is not the stage of depression that we are talking about in our times. At present it is a stage where we talk about depression. That one little calamity, one little test, one little trial, one little disaster, and the person says that I can't take it anymore, I'd rather take my life, I'd rather go on the other side too. So this is what Allah Ta'ala does, that He gives them plentiful. But then He says, Unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili, humko tufano mein bhi sahil diya. That they, even on the shore, they experience nothing but restlessness. With all the billions that they have, what do they have? They have no peace of mind. Shaho ke saro par taj giran se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Shaho ke saro par taj giran se dard sa aksar rehta hai. اور اہل وفا کے سینوں میں ایک نور کا دریا بہتا ہے. The kings, they may have got crowns on their heads and they're sitting on thrones, and they can tell you we've got 1 dozen palaces in 1 mile of land. But what have they got in reality? Their heads are aching, they are worried, they are concerned. Our kingdom must not be toppled. There must be no coup d'etat, there must be no revolution. Look at Musharraf. He is so attached to his chair, does not want to let go that chair at any cost. Look at the number of people swearing him and cursing him and all kinds of court cases taking place that this person must now get out, he had enough. We don't want a military ruler. But he is clinging on to it because he is promised a lot of dollars by America and others. So that is what happened. Shaho ke saro par taj gina se dard sa aksar rehta hai. And the ahle wafa, the people who have committed themselves to Allah Ta'ala, those who have submitted themselves to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's will, those who have given themselves into Islam and Sharia and Quran and Sunnah, those who have developed and built up in their hearts the muhabbat and the connection and the ta'alluq with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then in their hearts an ocean of noor is flowing. As Hazrat Khaja Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayhi Wasallam, Azza Allah Wala, they said that if only the kings of the time had known the wealth that Allah Ta'ala has given to us in our hearts, if only they could have snatched it, they would have sent armies to snatch it away. The wealth of sukoon, which they don't have, of peace and tranquility. So Allah Ta'ala says that this trade, this business, this transaction, these deals, there's nothing wrong with it. Allah Ta'ala Himself has ordered that you must earn halal livelihood. It is not desirable that a person does nothing. He just relaxes and he expects everybody to take care of his needs and his requirements. In fact, it is not even permissible to give those who are healthy and fit. They can work, but they realize that if we have to work, then we won't earn that much as we will earn if we have to stand at the street corners and go door to door and house to house to beg. Many of them have said that we make more money like that, why should we be working? But if the person is fit and healthy, but he can't find employment, he's got half a dozen children, he's got rent, life and water problems, and he's saying, I'm unemployed, I want a job, please, I don't want to beg, then it becomes our duty to either find him a job or assist him and help him. But I'm talking about those people who are the don't works. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not desire that. He does not like that, that the person should be lazy. But at the same time, the person must not forget that Allah in that business, in that activity of his. Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe. Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe. Wo sab ke saath rehke bhi sab se juda rahe. In all occupations of life, they remain ba khuda, they remain with Allah. Like how we say the person is ba wuzu, that he stays in wuzu all the time. Now that doesn't mean he doesn't go to the toilet. What it means that if his wuzu breaks, he makes wuzu again. Or when he's sleeping, then there won't be any wuzu left. But when he's awake and he's alert, at that time he tries to stay in wuzu because of the virtues that have been mentioned. But in our times, we'll say even if the person does not stay in wuzu all the day, it's not so important, it's not farz, it's not wajib. But what is important is that the person must stay ba khuda. Now so many are ba wuzu, but they're staring and glaring and ogling and casting lustful glances and they say, we stay ba wuzu. So that kind of ba wuzu, staying in wuzu all the time, is that something that is desirable? The person rather don't stay in wuzu all the time, he rather make wuzu for namaz. But he must stay ba khuda. That means he must remember that my Allah is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, when he asked him what muraqabah the person must make, Alam ya'lam anna Allah yara. Meaning that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching. And if only this can come into our hearts, then we have succeeded. Because the rest of the things will then become easy. We won't have to really work hard then to give up sins. Sins will then just drop off, like how when autumn comes, then how the leaves just drop from the trees. Like that, when Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat will come into the heart, the sins will begin to drop off. So there's a deficiency in that, therefore we are finding it difficult in our business, in our homes, in our married life, in every way we say it's difficult. Islam is difficult. We are finding it difficult because we haven't got the steam of the love of Allah Ta'ala in our hearts. And to develop that is the same ayat of the Quran Sharif, that when the person will have the khawf of Qiyamah, when the eyes and hearts will be overturned. So either you develop the love of Allah Ta'ala or you fear the torment of the day of judgment. Then it will become easy to make amal. And this month of Ramadan, that is what it is for. On the day of Qiyamah, they say, Dastar Khan will be laid, tablecloth. It will be laid out and the most beautiful, most delicious dishes will be placed there. And people will be eating and drinking. And they will ask the angels that, who are these people? We are suffering here in the heat. And we are concerned about the hisab and kitab. And these people are enjoying themselves. They will be told these are the people who used to fast. They were fasting. They used to stay away from food and drink and carnal passions and desires because it was the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So now here they can now eat and drink and enjoy and make merry because there they obeyed me. So now here they can have everything to their heart's content. So رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. With that trade and with that deals and with that transactions and everything came iqamat of salat and ita of zakah. Meaning again the same thing, that the person is conscious of his duties towards Allah Ta'ala and is conscious of his duties towards people, society and everyone else. On the one side is ibadat, if you look at the extended meaning of the whole thing, one side it is iqamat of salat. That the person is establishing his salat. He's not just making salat or reading salat, as we say. That you come or you go, I am coming salat. The person really makes a proper salat. And together with that zakat, although we say that it is a farz and it is the right of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but to whom does the zakat go? The zakat, do we give it into Allah ta'ala's hand? Does he really benefit from the zakat that we give? It is again the poor, the needy, the destitute, the orphans, the widows, and those who are suffering. They are going to benefit. So meaning that the person is conscious of his duties towards Allah Ta'ala and is conscious of his duties towards mankind. And especially the believers, they have a right over him. Double right. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us a very, very firm belief in yaqeen. In him, in his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his angels, in his books, in life after death, in the day of judgment, and in taqdeer. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, and the problems of mankind around the globe, and especially the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in these times, Somalia, Sudan, Palestine, Chechnya, Afghanistan, Iraq, blood has become so cheap, human life has become so cheap. I don't think those people who are bombing and destroying so many lives, they ever kill that many mosquitoes in their lives as they are killing human beings. But whose fault it is? Allah Ta'ala give us an understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.